I want to spend a couple of minutes revisiting an issue we touched on in February, the issue of mental health services in South Africa, and particularly in the public sector. You may recall I spoke in Feb to the president of the South African Society of Psychiatrists about the many, many holes in the system that had been revealed by the Life Esidimeni tragedy. One thing we all learned from that horrible, horrible story is that we urgently need to relook at how mentally ill people are treated in this country. Why does it take the death of more than 100 people and how many other more lives ruined by lack of access to decent treatment for this to be exposed and for us to wake up to the fact that we are facing a crisis? Now, in February, when we had that conversation, Dr. Bernard Janssen van Rensburg said there was a call for an entire overhaul of the system. And this, of course, came on the heels of a report by the Health Ombudsman that identified many, many, many holes in the system. And there have been several developments, some progress in some cases, but not nearly enough in many cases. And I wanted just to touch base again with Dr. Bernard Janssen van Rensburg, who is the president of the South African Society of Psychiatrists, to chat about where we are. Bernard, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us again.
Back. It's nice to talk to you.
Thanks so much for your time. When we spoke in February, you were calling firstly for a radical overhaul of the entire system, but particularly for a real sort of nuts and bolts review of where we are at a regional level, asking the provinces to go and look deep and assess where they are and help us paint a more thorough picture of where the shortcomings are. You've now started to really get a sense of what that holistic picture looks like. Paint it for us.
Yes, thank you very much. Indeed, there was so much attention to the events in February following the Ombuds report. But our call then to look at the rest of the system is actually, one can almost refer it back to the recommendation 16 of the Ombuds, who's actually put the context of Life Esidimeni in a very clear context, in that it's the whole system that needs to be looked at. And I think this is just why we also felt sometime later, we all understood and expected that it would have taken some time to just do that emergency, urgent things of moving the patients back from Life Esidimeni, Life Esidimeni patients back to hospital facilities from the NGOs that they were placed in. Now, that has mostly been transpired, has happened. There's still some cases, I think, that's being investigated in Gauteng. But all in all, I think those movements have taken place. Just for a moment, we are aware that still in Gauteng, there are remaining issues in terms of the licensing of NGOs, which is currently in the news again, in that there's been the recommendation to review all of that. But it's as if the practicalities, the logistics of this may leave certain NGOs unlicensed, even the good ones that we expected to would be continued. But that hopefully will be addressed very soon and swiftly and quickly. What transpired on our side since then is also to look a little bit broader, and the society has so-called subgroups in different areas of the country, different provinces, and we had earlier in June, we had our annual strategic review of things, and what was so apparent was that the urgency of mental health services to be addressed is not just in Gauteng, it's across all of the provinces. And I think this is what brought us to the second call, so-called focusing on access this time, and really want to highlight the urgent need of addressing the problem in all of the areas in the country, and not just the Gauteng where we focused on in Life Esidimeni earlier in the year.
Bernard, I mean, just yesterday we saw the Gauteng Health MEC suspending the Mental Health Review Board pending an investigation into its fitness to hold office. How significant is that?
Yes, definitely. Again, one of the recommendations of the ombud was that the chair of the review board needs to be disciplinary matters needs to be investigated in terms of that. But it seems that the MEC has actually taken a whole further step and hold the whole board accountable. So I think that is significant, and we are also touching on that in our statement earlier today, in the sense that the review boards are really the watchdogs of human rights in the mental health care system legislation process. They are the ones to have to review processes. They are the ones to make decisions in terms of the correct procedures. They're also ones to take proactive steps. They're independent bodies supposed to be. They report to the MEC, but there's also nothing barring them speaking to national minister. There's also a high court judge in the process to be involved if necessary. So it's the one mechanism built in as a protector, the watchdog principle again. We're a bit concerned that across the country we have just seen, perhaps the Western Cape may be somewhat better in that regard, but many areas don't even have review boards. It's usually appointed per district kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's consisting of a mental health practitioners as well as legal advisors, usually, and the job of these bodies are really extremely important. But we highlight one. This is one of the urgent issues in the general system.
Well, Bernard, let's talk about a couple of the other ones just before we run out of time. I mean, I'm reading your review of the status in Limpopo, for example, saying only 6 public sector psychiatrists serving the entire Limpopo province. There is a hospital where a psychiatric nurse was killed by an inpatient last year that has no psychiatrist on duty at all.
Currently,
there's also a complete absence of dedicated child and adolescent psychiatric care, which means teenagers and even younger are being admitted into adult psychiatry wards.
Most definitely. And this is coming from a summary from all of our areas, but most specifically demonstrated by Limpopo and I think Eastern Cape in particular, where two big psychiatric hospitals, in Limpopo's case, it's Hayani. There's three there, in fact. Tabamupu, Evut Kakeni is the other one, and Hayani. So Hayani is the hospital where I think the unfortunate event happened. But as we speak currently, two of these three psychiatric hospitals with beds in excess, almost it's reaching 1,200 beds in total. Just one psychiatrist is currently employed here, which is really a real concern. And this is the specialized type of top-of-the-pyramid type of services that we're talking about, which should have been supported by a whole pyramid of layers of services leading up to that. I think Limpopo is also quite stretched in terms of the...
It is now just past 1:30. Let's get the latest Eyewitness News headlines with Wesley Peterson.
Thanks, Pippa. Good afternoon. Parliamentarians have been briefed on the audit results of the country's 263 municipalities today. The Auditor General's report released last week showed minimal improvement in the overall performance of local government during the past financial year. Only 49 municipalities